Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Yes, I was one of those followers who was there that day. That day that, how do you explain it? How do you explain the inexplainable? I mean, really, if you were there, how would you talk about it? I guess first of all, too, there was another thing going on. There was this anxiousness going on. Now, I thought anxious always meant scared or fearful, but I was discovering there was all these other different kinds of being anxious. I mean, we had seen Jesus, been with him for 3 years, followed him, and then we saw him arrested, killed, and then arise again. And then he was with us for several times, and then he goes to his Father in heaven miraculously. Now, the fearful anxious was very obvious. The Sanhedrin had killed him, and they had gone to Pilate and said, his followers are going to steal his body and take him away. And then say he rose again. So guess what? We're the followers. We're already in fear because they've killed our leader, and now they suspect us of taking his body. So, of course, we're scared. So that's the anxious we know. But there's this other kind of anxiousness, this excited anxiousness, because he has risen from the dead. We were with him. We saw it. We saw him walking among us after he was risen. We saw him go to his Father. And he left us with, "Go ye therefore into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So we had this story to tell. We are excited to tell it, and we were telling it. But at the same time, there's the danger of being known as one of his followers. "Go with you, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." He did all this. Not us. We were his followers. Now he's asking us to be the leaders. He's not here anymore. How are we going to be the leaders? How are we going to do this? Matter of fact, some of us are even thinking about, you know, we've given up everything for 3 years. Some of us are even going, "I can't do that. Maybe I should start thinking about maybe going back to where I was and what I'm going to do." So all these different thoughts are going through our minds, all our different doubts, fears, excitement, going through our minds when that day happens. Now, obviously, we're scared, so the doors are shut, the windows are shuttered. But then it happens. Can't explain it. The closest we came was a rushing wind, which was strange because it was a sunny day. And it was calm outside all day. And we called it a rushing wind, but the only thing I could come up with was come up something like this to kind of give you the idea. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have startled me. And it kind of did. But then there's some kind of was this like not fear to run away, but to stay and to see what it was. And then next, little flames on top of our heads. Now, I don't know how you're going to act with you when you see a flame on top of your head, but I'm going like this and finding water and rolling and stop, drop, and roll. But it didn't happen that way. We didn't do that. There was a sense of peace in our hearts, minds, and souls about that. A normal person would have been scared. We were normal people. But why weren't we? Why was this peace there? How do you describe that? And then there was the Feast of Weeks. This was a very major festival in Jerusalem. So people from all across the world had come. Elamites, Phrygia, Greeks, Romans, and more. And all of a sudden, after that fire disappeared, here we are, people who would take years to learn these things, speaking in these different languages. How do you describe that? The only way was remembering the promise. And that's the other thing that happened. We were sharing stories about Jesus, but there were some that we had forgotten. We didn't remember every little detail, but now all of a sudden we could remember it. And we were telling it in different languages. And we went out to the people, all those different people from all across the world. And of course, I don't blame them. They probably thought, oh, they've been into the booze. Peter took care of that with his sermon. He took over. Peter the Rock. Jesus said he was going to build his church on that. And he took over and calmed that thought real quick. And we all visited with these people and told them through our excited anxiousness the wonderful stories about Jesus and the wonderful things that he could do with their lives. And 3,000 people were baptized. How do you explain that? The Spirit is something you don't see. It's something we don't necessarily see like none of us have really seen Jesus for that matter, but it works among us and with us. We call this the birthday of the church because it is the birthday of the church because those 3,000 people now it was not just a Jerusalem thing or a Galilean thing. It was a world thing. It was a Christian thing, which was difficult to face because all the people that didn't like the Christianity were then putting out warrants for arrests and arresting you. It wasn't easy to be a Christian, but these 3,000 people and this spirit would not be stopped. We kind of think of it as a history day, I think, kind of like Jesus' birth. We celebrate it at Christmas time, and we maybe carry it a little bit, but then we kind of forget about it, go about the other things, and come back around to it again, and then we celebrate it again. I call that a history event. I don't think this is it. I think this is a different kind of thing. This is a different kind of event that we sometimes maybe overlook. When you have a birthday, when you are having a birthday and people come for a party, what do they bring? What? Presents, right? A gift, right? Well, that's what this was to those people. It was a gift to people who were like you and me, different backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different world backgrounds. If you were to trace your family, you may find that we were all over the place. I'm German and Irish, two different places. But we're just simple people, just like they were, fishermen, tax collector, etc., etc. And yet this gift transformed their lives and transformed us to give us this gift of the church. One of the statements I saw that I really liked says, we are called to be a community of the Spirit within our community. We are the spirit of faith within this community and within the community that we live in. That's a gift to be shared every day, not just every once in a while. The best way I could come up to describe that would be another story. There was a monastery one time, Catholic monastery, and it was very popular at the time. Had lots of people coming, very full. The monks had energy and enthusiasm, and everything was going great. But suddenly something changed. All of a sudden the people stopped coming, which discouraged the monks. The monks then lost some of their confidence and some of their enthusiasm. And slowly but surely it started to decline. As it was declining, they noticed out in the forest on the edge of the monastery, a hut appeared with a little smokestack on it. And the abbot of the monastery, seeing that, says, I want to welcome this person, whoever he is. Let them know they're welcome here. So he walks out, knocks on the door, and inside is a rabbi from the neighboring town. And they visit for a while and share a cup of tea, and then he goes on his way. The monastery continues to decline. Every once in a while, the smoke would appear in the smokestack at the hut. Finally, the monastery is facing closure. The abbot saw the smokestack. And every time the monks would see it, the energy would rise a little bit because they'd say, the rabbi is in the woods. The rabbi is in the woods. So finally, on this last time, the abbot thought, I'm going to visit with the rabbi. And he went out and talked with him. And come to find out, as they began to visit, he said, our monastery is in decline. And the rabbi says, well, so is my synagogue. And they realized they were facing the same problems. And so they prayed about it and cried about it. And finally, the rabbi says, Abbot, it's time for you to go back to your monastery. And he says, I will. As he goes to the door, he turns around, and he looks at the rabbi, and he says, sir, is there any kind of words of wisdom that you can give me? And the rabbi says, all I can give you is one thing, and you must say it one time and one time only, and not say it again. He said, the Messiah is among you. Now you must go on your way. Well, of course, all the monks were waiting for the abbot to come back to hear what the rabbi had to say. And the abbot called them together and says, you must say this. I'm going to say this to you one time, and then you must not say it again. The Messiah is among you. And they went on their way. Months have passed now. The rabbi's hut has fallen into disrepair. But the monastery, on the other hand, has rejuvenated as the monks walked around treating each other as the Messiah, filled with the Holy Spirit, remembering his words, teaching his words, and doing his words, which is what our gospel calls us to do. This is a gift for you and me every day. It's not just on Pentecost. The birthday is celebration is today. But every day we take this gift into the world, sharing it with God and with all the people that we meet. One of the sayings I used to say is this worship time is over, but our worship continues as we go into the world, sharing the love of Christ with all who we meet. That's what the Spirit does for us. The Spirit says, I know you think you can't do this. I know you think you can't be a Sunday school teacher or you can't be a council member. I know that, but trust me. Embrace the gift, and as Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And I will help you through my advocate, the Holy Spirit. And the church will thrive. We embrace that gift of that first Pentecost. Every day, We celebrate it today, but we take it into the world, sharing it with everybody. People of God, embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let it inspire you, encourage you, help you when you're fearful and anxious, give you that peace that this world cannot give, that it gave on that very first Pentecost. Amen.